Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm, you know, doing the things. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm fine. Just flying to school.
Oh my God. Gabe got an award for standing up to a bully on the playground.
I know, like a little superhero.
I love him so much. I love that child.
He's so perfect and pure and kind and amazing. I'm so proud of him.
I love that not only does he not like bullies, but he actually said something and stood up for someone else. Like,
and then what an amazing child. And then he went to check on them afterwards.
I love him. He deserves that award.
He's so pure. He's so sweet. I can't even handle it. So that happened, which is amazing. Working on applications to grad school, which I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast before.
Look at you. Doing your damn thing.
Trying to go get my master's in mental health counseling. We'll see how that goes. It's so much fucking work applying. It's so much work.
Listen, if you could be my counselor, my therapist, I would take it. You would be incredible.
Thank
to anyone.
So much. I feel like I'd be a really good counselor. So I just need to get, you know, the schooling and licensure for that. Because if I said I'm a counselor now, I would go to jail. So
we don't need that. We don't need that.
No, I would really like to not go to jail. Well, I don't really have much news, but I do want to just plug right at the top that we do have a Patreon. We're working on getting our content and, like, working on building that up. And as we work on building that up, you guys can go and check that out. It's, like, it's the best way to, like, support our podcast. And it's going to help us, like, expand our podcast and make, hopefully, merch and tchotchkes and shit. I really want stickers, so...
Oh, yes. Yes. Right? Stickers.
Yeah. So I figured I would just plug that up here. And that's really all I got. Oh, my God. My cat is pooping. It smells so bad.
Oh, no. Anyway, for me, you know, work, the campaign going well. We have a pizza and pasta fundraiser coming up, which I'm excited about.
So excited.
You're so excited. Yes, Katie's coming. If you would like to make donations to my campaign, we absolutely have a link in our link tree in our bios on social media. I'll take anything I can get. I very much appreciate it.
Yes.
And what else? Oh, on Instagram, I've been doing like, and this is not because I saw a challenge or something somewhere. Like, I just wanted to do this for, honestly, my own mental health and making me appreciate little things every day and like actually taking it in and thinking about it. So I've been doing 100 days of joy. I think I'm on like day 10 today. Okay. I think I'm gonna do my new to me table and chairs in the backyard.
Absolutely. Those chairs are that so great.
My parents picked up at a garage sale. They're so great. And then my mom went to Big Lots the other day and got an umbrella for us that was originally $80, and she bought it for $20.
Oh, hell yeah, Terry.
My mother is, like, so frugal, and I love her for it.
She's amazing.
Yeah. It looks so good. I took a picture. I sent it to them. I was like, it looks great. Thank you.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's the thing bringing me joy. When you come here in a couple weeks, we can sit outside and eat and have our coffee and Just have like a nice place to sit in the backyard. I'm so excited.
Bro, that's next week.
What?
Oh, no. Yeah, dude.
That's... September 1st is next week.
That's next week.
Oh, I Isn't thought it was. Yeah, I think so.
It's Hold the 25th on. Today.
Oh, fuck. I know it's a Thursday. Is that next Thursday? That's next Thursday. Yeah. How is next Thursday September already?
Well, dude, Gabe's in fucking school. Of course, September is rolling around.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And we only have 40-something days until Sarah's wedding. So.
I'm so fucked. Oh,
and that's October. Like, what?
I need to book the hotel. Thank you for reminding me. Okay.
Oh, yes. I get paid tomorrow, so I'm going to do that. Cool, cool, cool. Anyway, yeah. that's what I got going on.
Sweet. That sounds amazing.
Being joyous.
Yes, joyous is good. So let's hold on to that joy.
Okay.
For this episode.
Am I
going
to need it?
A little bit. And a little bit and a little bit not. So, Ashley, as you know, I wanted to do QAnon this week. Yeah. Those were the breadcrumbs that I was dropping, but that is a huge undertaking, and I'm not quite ready to, I just don't have it together yet. Weirdly enough, the subject that I am going for does kind of touch on QAnon a little bit. So, slightly pivoting in another direction, I was reminded of the Global Slavery Index from our fast fashion episode, and about some misconceptions of human trafficking. So that's what we're getting into today. Yes. We are going to talk about human trafficking.
I couldn't remember if you told me or not, but you did.
I did. I did. Yes. So there are some topics where I feel like I can surprise you. I feel like I can't necessarily surprise someone with, you know, this isn't clones, you know?
This isn't what's in that ice.
Yeah, exactly. This is like a pretty heavy topic. And so, yeah, we're just going to get into it. Mm-hmm. So the Department of Homeland Security defines human trafficking as human trafficking involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. They go on to say, every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked worldwide, including right here in the United States. It can happen in any community, and victims can be any age, race, gender, or nationality. Traffickers might use violence, manipulation, or false promises of well-paying jobs or romantic relationships to lure victims into trafficking situations. So already, that's an incredibly broad definition, and also not exactly what we think of when we think of human trafficking, or sort of like the media curated image of that. So I'm going to paint an example of some things that under that definition are legally considered human trafficking. You want to go work in another country, so you find a company that provides work visas and a job, as well as the ticket to the country. So they fly you out there, and you then have to pay a percentage of your paycheck to cover the loan given to buy the ticket.
Oh.
That what? Itself is considered human trafficking, because it's...
Yes. I see it.
So, but that's also, like, there are a lot of people who will... a lot of American students who will graduate college... and then go fly abroad to China to teach English. And, you know, they have to pay a percentage of their wages to pay for their room and board. But otherwise, they're just working in China and teaching English. Under that definition, that's legally human trafficking, regardless of what the conditions are.
I never would have thought about it like that. I also did not know that that was a thing that happens. I didn't know that you had to like pay for your room and board. I need to talk to our friend who was over in Japan for like 6 years doing that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask, or, like, what his situation was.
Yeah, so then most situations is that people either outside of the US or from the US are promised lavish apartments to go abroad. And provide some sort of labor only to get to the destination and be told that you owe more money than was originally agreed upon. Or that, like, the living situations aren't what you were told, yeah, or the situation isn't exactly what it is. And a lot of times, like, you hear those situations just described as like, oh, I got scammed. But yeah, legally, that is considered human trafficking.
Wow.
Yeah. So before our fast fashion episode, when I thought of human trafficking, I thought of sex trafficking, specifically that curated image that I was talking about of little girls getting snatched off the street and sold into trafficking rings. And it follows the idea in almost every documentary that you watch or any source. I saw the same shit where it was like, unlike drugs, humans are a product that can be sold 1,000 times over. You know, like you sell drugs once and the drugs are done and they're done and you can't sell that. The other thing is that while doing this research, I ran into a lot of things that I didn't really expect. And I think that we all as listeners and you and I as the conversationalists need to have an open mind to a lot of the stuff that I'm going to say and understand that in a world with billions of people, there are a lot of things going on. And I want to preface a lot of this conversation with this one quote from a paper sociological article on human trafficking by a woman named Jo Goody. And this whole thing is a quote. It's pretty long, but it's important.
Okay.
Accurate data on the extent of trafficking in human beings does not exist. General figures are often given by intergovernmental and non-governmental organizations whose sources and reliability can be difficult to verify.
It's also like, how could we possibly know?
Yes. And she does.
This is like such a lot of this is such a secret world that like, how could we possibly know how many people are being trafficked and under what guise, you know?
This situation is not unique to data on human trafficking, but is typical of criminal justice data in the area of serious and organized crime, which remains underreported, underdetected, and therefore underprosecuted. The problem in the case of human trafficking is that the human victims are often unaware of how to report their abuse, unable to do so, particularly when they're minors. It's also typically the case that victims are scared to report their abusers for fear of reprisals against themselves or their families. Mm-hmm. In addition, victims are often distrustful of the police and criminal justice authorities as being able or willing to assist them should they report their victimization. These factors, combined with the problems of corrupt policing and criminal justice personnel, serve to undermine the criminal justice responses to the crime of human trafficking and make accurate estimates of its scale difficult.
Okay, yeah.
So she kind of goes on to talk about an example of this. So in the 2006, the UN's Office on Drugs and Crime came out with a report that analyzed print material from international sources to map like how often different countries were cited as being involved in human trafficking. And they were categorized as like origin, transit, or destination countries. Goody says that a country having a very high citation index as a destination for trafficking victims is perhaps as much a reflection of its active policies to combat trafficking as put information in the public domain as it is the country's position as a main destination for victims. So when we're looking at these statistics, a lot of them are not necessarily, you can't fully back them up. The data is not 100% accurate. And a lot of times the data for saying that sex trafficking or human trafficking in a certain area is very popular in that area can say not that it's actually really popular there, but just that they have more resources there to count and do that thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So like the podcast You're Wrong About like kind of equated it to if you have an organization that's like dedicated towards things, you know, the Foreign Objects in Muffin organization, and you like look at their statistics, it's going to look like something else, but it's important to kind of put those statistics in a greater thing, and a lot of information happened.
It's kind of like how people say nowadays, like, oh, are we more aware of these things because they're happening more? Or are we more aware of it because we have visibility on it now with technology, media, and stuff like that? It's kind of like that.
It is. And some of the things that I have read, a lot of very credible sources have actually provided a third option in which some of this data is blown way out of proportion and is not backed by citation. And focus is being put in places that are actually negatively impacting actual human trafficking. And the things that are being focused on have no basis in reality, almost whatsoever.
Okay. And what kinds of things do they mean about
that? So we'll get into that. So one of the examples is one of the top groups of the like National Missing and Exploited Children Network put out a thing that said 1 in 7 children who have run away are being sex trafficked, when there is absolutely no data that shows that. When in actuality, they tried to kind of get to where that statistic come from. And when the Washington Post put out that article, the response was, rather than providing the accurate information, was changing the statistic to 1 in 7 runaways are likely sex trafficked.
They're like, so we don't get sued.
Yeah. So there's like there's this big kind of thing where in the podcast you're wrong about said, you know, it's your greatest nightmare, but it also doesn't happen very much. But it also, you know, stranger danger, but also there's no facts. So I just kind of wanted to preface, like, we need to be open and understand, as you said, a lot of this is secretive. But then also the other side of this is that a lot of the reality of what's going on is pointing away from the biggest things that are being talked about. And I wasn't expecting what I found in my research, I guess, is what I'm saying. So yes, let's get into it. The first myth about human trafficking, both for forced labor and sex trafficking, is the idea that it happens on large-scale operations. Sort of this idea that groups of large people are being moved across borders and sold in cargo crates, like chained to walls, kind of human trafficking.
Yeah, you see that in a lot of CSI.
Yeah, and it's
SVU,
and it's what the media really likes to like portray, you know, when they find the one, and like I said, billions of people, everything is happening somewhere, and the media really likes to find when that happened one time. But the reality is actually most trafficking victims are detected in their countries of citizenship. Most people aren't snatched and flown to another country because, from an economic standpoint, why spend money flying to other places when there are millions of vulnerable and desperate people in your own area? Because the fact is, this exploitation is not, it's because of all of the lack of sources that people have, basically, is what it comes down to. So when we see real life cases of trafficking, for example, Epstein, R. Kelly, the large number of missing and murdered Indigenous women, it's not warehouses of children. It's powerful people in their area using that power and not being held accountable.
Yep.
Which leads to the second myth of the false notion of stranger danger. When we think of human trafficking, we think of people walking home alone and getting grabbed, or they're in a mall and they're grabbed. But every single case of human trafficking that has been prosecuted in the United States between 2005 and 2015, zero cases were linked to snatch and grabs involving cartels and things like that.
What?
Yeah. That's just like,
that's
just not a thing.
Crazy.
It's just not a thing.
Wow.
And of course, like I said,
there are certain groups who would have you believe.
Exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Wow.
But that's still the main form of human trafficking that gets talked about. And it's really created a false sense of stranger danger. Mm. We're in the middle of a stranger danger panic when all of the evidence shows that it's rarely strangers that are the culprits of trafficking people. So a study from the Covenant House in New York, which is a nonprofit focused on homeless youth, found that 36% of their trafficking survivors in the survey who were known to be trafficked were trafficked by an immediate family member, like a parent.
Wow. You know, but I'm not entirely surprised by that, because when there's a homicide investigation, they're always looking at who's closest to that person. I mean, that it tracks.
Because when it comes to most crime, very rarely is it strangers. Very rarely. Only 4 people in their trafficking survivors reported being kidnapped and held against their will.
Wow.
So that's, it was a really small study, but a lot of other evidence points to this concept. Okay, so a report from the Counter Trafficking Data Collective, which I personally believed to be the most accurate source of data because it gathered all of the data of all trafficking sources and kind of sifted through it and averaged it out as best as it can. So the numbers that we're getting there are a lot smaller than some of the numbers that you see elsewhere. Mm. But there was one number where it was like, I think it said something like 5 million kids in the U.S. alone are trafficked every year.
What?
Or like just like impossible numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like really conflating the issue. So this group... the CTDC is what they call themselves. In terms of recruitment into trafficking for children, 41% is by a family or relative. 14% is by an intimate partner. 11% by friends. And 34% other, which is acquaintances, teachers,
I was just going to say teachers. Oh, not yeah. The coaches. Oh, no.
Like the other people in their lives. Very rarely is it a snatch and grab type of situation.
Yeah.
60% of the kids are forced into labor, and 32 to 38 are forced into sexual exploitation.
Wow.
So then they go down to break those stats a little bit more and say that in terms of children who are trafficked into sexual exploitation, 98% of those are recruited through their intimate partners.
Whoa.
And a lot of it heavily relates to domestic violence experienced as like a young child. And a lot of stories start out with, I met a guy. He was the first man who was ever nice to me. He became my boyfriend. And then, you know, he wanted to explore sexually. So he wanted, you know, to start having threesomes and watch me with other guys. And then suddenly he wasn't watching and he wasn't there. And then all of a sudden it's escalating and money is being exchanged behind hands. And all of a sudden your boyfriend is sex trafficking you.
Oh my God.
And more often than not, that's how that starts.
That's insane.
Yeah. Or it's that situation with family members, or putting them into forced labor, you know, families forcing young children to work and taking their money. That's trafficking.
Oh.
A lot of people don't consider it that.
I know people who have been in that situation with their families.
And a lot of it's not, you know, people don't necessarily consider it like that.
Yeah.
Legally speaking, under the definition given at the top of this episode, it is.
Wow.
So it really kind of changes the way that I looked at a lot of headlines that were talking about trafficking rings and people who were trafficked. And it really just kind of makes you look at some of the stuff that gets talked about, which we should, because we're getting into the myth 3 of the QAnon sex trafficking conspiracies.
Isn't part of it called Pizzagate, or am I thinking of something
yes.
else? Okay.
Pizzagate is a thing. Okay. Pizzagate is a thing. This is the most obvious stuff that takes away from things that are actually happening around the world.
Okay, yeah.
In 2017, a QAnon conspiracy made its way to the message boards that describes Donald Trump as the lone hero waging a war against a deep state and a cabal of elites who are pedophiles and child murderers.
So ridiculous. They act like he's their messiah.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. In 2022, The Atlantic came out with a phenomenal article written by Caitlin Tiffany, and it's called The Great Fake Child Sex Trafficking Epidemic. And it not only references the QAnon stuff, but sort of the other issues with the data collecting and the policies and stuff like that, and how a lot of these issues with sex trafficking gets conflated in a way where it's almost like we're only worried about women and children being trafficked, but like, who cares about them being raped?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's such a weird, it's so fucking weird.
And it's so funny to me that they think that Donald Trump is going to be the one to save all of these like sex trafficked kids and women when he's literally a pervert. And has 20, yes. What is it, 26, 28 allegations against him?
Something like that, yeah.
And that's the person that you're picking?
Yeah, okay. Okay. Make it make sense. It doesn't. Seriously. Caitlin Tiffany, who wrote this article, highlights in this quote, "While stereotypical kidnappings, what you picture when you hear the word, do occur, the annual number hovers around 100.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... feels so low.
100 kids in the U.S.
Wow. I expected it to be way higher.
That's two a state a year kidnappings. Wow. Yeah.
I feel like I have always been told throughout my entire life that, like,
we are.
Kids get kidnapped left and right.
Mm-hmm. Because throughout our entire lives, we have been in a stranger danger panic. Don't talk to strangers.
I mean, I don't want to talk to strangers just because I don't want to talk to people. But like,
mm-hmm. But like, you see this kind of stuff all the time where it's like, you know, if you see guys standing outside, like, do this, do that. And like, obviously, yeah, avoid men at all costs. But when you look at the stats, like 100 kidnappings. So we're going to break this down a little more. Sex trafficking also 100% occurs in the United States. The U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline has been operated by the anti-trafficking nonprofit Polaris Project and overseen and partially funded by the Department of Health and Human Services since 2007. In 2019, it recorded direct contacts with 14,597 likely victims of sex trafficking of all ages.
Okay.
With the average age of these victims when they were likely first trafficked being 17.
Oh, God.
However, the organization itself does not regard its figure for direct contacts as one that should be used with too much confidence. Mm-hmm. It's probably low, but they acknowledge there's no more solid data. You know, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah. All they can do is give, like, averages.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, and you know, in 2019, that's 15,000 victims of all ages, which is a lot. That's not the 5 million that people are posting about.
Yeah.
That's not the 800,000 a year. That's the big number that gets thrown around most often.
Mm-hmm. It almost feels like the powers that be just want us to be scared.
Yeah. For the wrong reasons, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there were things like Pizzagate and the Wayfair rumor.
What's that?
Oh, you didn't hear about this.
No.
So it was the idea that Wayfair, the retail site.
I was just looking at some of their stuff.
So some of their throw pillows and industrial size cabinets were priced absurdly high for the throw pillows and just priced well for industrial size cabinets. And on Twitter, some suggested that the listings were actually for the purchase of children.
What?
So, like, they would have a cabinet whose name, who would be, like, a name or whatever, like, the Anna cabinet. And it, you know, it's an industrial size cabinet. It's listed for $50,000 because it's an industrial size cabinet for building. That's gonna, you know, it, that's what an industrial size cabinet for warehouses costs.
Okay.
And people will be like, and there's this missing girl named Anna, and I bet you Wayfair is shipping her in these. What the fuck? Yeah, like, people were saying that, like, Wayfair was, like, trafficking people, like, right under their noses.
What?
Yeah. And that's just, there's not, that's just not fucking true.
That's ridiculous.
That's just not true.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard all day.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what? A huge fucking thing. That was a huge fucking thing. And, like, there are things where it's, like, certain websites, if you are out of stock, you, like, can get docked a little bit if you're, like, a third-party seller on something. So sometimes companies will list the prices for items as, like, absurdly high so that no one buys it, giving them more time to get more in stock.
Ah, interesting. Interesting.
So, like, there's just, like, weird things that go on in the back end, or just weird glitches that caused pillows to be listed for thousands of dollars. And people were like, they're trafficking children.
Oh, my God. People will go anywhere with anything.
They really will. They really will. And the important thing to note is that trafficking victims are young transgender people. Or teens experiencing homelessness,
yeah,
who are exchanging sex with others to meet their basic needs of shelter, economic stability, food, and health care. And this is a quote from a website: trafficking frequently looks like vulnerable people struggling to survive in a violent, exploitative world.
Yeah, that tracks.
San Francisco-based researcher Alexandra Lutnick said, they're creating sexual solutions to non-sexual problems. And that with this broad definition of, you know, sex trafficking and human trafficking, some of these youths, because of their age, are rejecting the label and preferring terms like survival sex work.
Yeah.
Over, you know, human trafficking or a trafficking victim or whatever.
I'm sure that also plays into their psyche and how they don't want to feel as though that they are a victim of their circumstances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is another quote. Trafficking victims engaged in survival sex may well be arrested rather than offered help like housing or healthcare if they can't prove force, fraud, or coercion. Or if they refuse to comply in a criminal investigation, they risk shifting from victim to criminal in the eyes of the law enforcement, which can mean prostitution charges and felony offenses and sometimes deportation. To quote the Polaris Project that I talked about earlier, there are many ways to combat human trafficking besides donating money. You can contact your elected representatives about supporting important legislation to combat the crime and help survivors. You can learn more about human trafficking actually works and help educate others. And you can volunteer in your community to fight not just trafficking, but the factors that actually lead to trafficking, including poverty, addiction, and hopelessness. Because that's end of quote. The biggest issues that really impact teens are depression, anxiety, domestic abuse, suicide, and poverty.
Yeah.
By helping these issues, you can actually combat the main sources of trafficking.
100%.
To kind of round this out, it feels really important to mention that a lot of people have nefarious reasons for getting involved in what is known as the combating of trafficking. In a scientific sociological article, The Making of the Trafficking Problem, written in 2018, a quote from Ayn van Wessenbeek. It has been broadly documented that the attention for sex trafficking has skyrocketed during the last couple decades. Magnetti gave telling illustration by calculating from news, he's like a researcher, calculating from news database searches that there were only 3 references to human trafficking before the year 2000. Around more than 500 in 2010. Yep. And tens of thousands since then. The United Nations Trafficking Protocol to prevent and suppress and punish trafficking in persons launched in the year 2000. So that's when we actually start seeing it being talked about. Before then, we didn't have this people doing it. So now we actually start seeing the data for it. Mm. And ensuing the war on trafficking by the Bush administration have been crucial in this respect. At present, the anti-trafficking movement consists of a diverse coalition of conservative evangelical Christians, fundamentalist Islamists, abolitionist feminists, and social activists of diverse stripes. A lot, this obviously this is the end of the quote, a lot of the money that is donated to a lot of these nonprofits is funded from right-wing conservative evangelicals.
I'm like not surprised by that, but it's like, y'all, we just want people to be safe. Come on.
Who now exclusively devote themselves to the war against trafficking, which many admit is really just a war against prostitution.
They're not in it for the good of everyone.
No, and the fact is that a lot of these groups are actually not even helping the people that they're quote-unquote rescuing.
Yeah. And like, they're not going to sit here and they're not going to help solve the problem of poverty. They're not going to sit here and help solve the issue of trans and queer kids getting thrown out of their homes and living on the streets because their Christian families don't like when they come out. I mean, they're not going to sit here and solve all these issues that are creating the problem. They're not going to go to therapy for their families and help other people go to therapy because that helps with family generational traumas and everything and learning how to emotionally elevate yourselves. And those groups aren't helping with this. They aren't now and they won't.
Even after, they're not being helpful. So Magnenti, the researcher, pointed out that there are more accounts on Twitter for groups supposedly raising awareness of trafficking than there are actual documented victims.
Of course.
Here's another quote. Although the anti-trafficking lobby's main tenet is protection of victims, the evidence that anti-trafficking policies and criminalization of sex work achieve just the opposite. Repressive sex work regimes are at serious odds with human rights and public health principles. Repression fuels stigma and all of its negative consequences. It escalates sex workers' risks and vulnerabilities and negatively impacts working routines and relations. It reduces access to health care and the legal system, denies sex workers authority and self-determination, and blocks ways out of the industry. Human trafficked underage sex workers in the U.S. rescued, quote, in the fight against trafficking, quote, do not get salvation, but get detention, court fees, and criminal records that only make their lives more difficult.
Like, what the fuck?
They're not helping them at all.
They just want to stop prostitution and shit like that from existing. But you can't do that if you're not willing to actually help people instead of just making their lives fucking harder and miserable.
Yeah.
You're just keeping them in a fucking sick cycle.
Yeah. The closer we look at the truth about trafficking, the more we find not women and children being saved from terrible fates, but powerful agencies claiming money and attention for themselves, while the people they supposedly rescue are arrested, deported, and fall through the society's cracks. There seems to be this spectrum where it's like, sex trafficking is this huge fucking deal. It's the worst thing that can possibly happen. So many people are being sex trafficked. But then when you look into the reality of what's actually happening, they're not, nothing. Nothing is happening for these victims. Nothing is actually happening. And a lot of times they are put into sort of, you know, domestic abuse shelters that are in the middle of fucking nowhere with all of these rules that require, like, no cell phones, no internet, you have to be home by a certain time, you have to do this, you have to pray, you have to go to church, basically restricting them from a social network, restricting them from the outside world, and basically re-trafficking them again, just in a different fucking way.
Yeah.
None of that is what I thought I was going to find. That the data we have on human trafficking is basically bullshit, and that we don't know how big the issue is actually when it's a real problem, as it is for missing and murdered Indigenous women, because we're so busy focusing on imaginary kids who are not being snatched, imaginary white kids, let's be real, who are not being snatched and grabbed off the streets, and the people, the transgender and homeless youth who actually need our help are just getting fucking arrested.
Yep. Damn,
Katie. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You just opened up my eyes
completely. Yeah, and all of that leads me to what my next topic is going to be. So the next episode that I lead, I'm going to be talking about sex work.
All right.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
Little glimpse into that. Well, and that was what I learned.
Much. Yeah. Holy balls. Dude.
It's fucking wild. It's fucking wild. Like, holy shit.
What was the name of that Stranger Danger dog that we had as a kid? Or am I thinking of that episode of Dexter's Laboratory? It's like a dog in a trench coat.
No, I definitely remember. I know what you're talking about. I also remember the stop, don't touch me there. This is my private square.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in ages.
Well, and like, I also personally have, you know, circumstances of like, I was walking home from school one time and like, literally a white van pulled over. I was like walking home with my brother or something, and literally a white van pulled over and was like, I'm missing a puppy, little girl, do you want to help me go find it? And I was like, fuck yeah, I do. And like, was about to like hop on into this, like, I was about to potentially be the exact situation I'm saying doesn't happen as often. It does happen, and I'm not denying that, but what we really need to be focusing on is the vulnerable communities who are dealing with this issue, and, you know, maybe stop looking at Wayfair's website and pizza places. Like, what the fuck?
Thank you so much for bringing us that information, Katie.
Yeah, it was,
You did good, kid.
Thank you. I truly felt like the last to know in this one. This was, this was exactly what this podcast was made for.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time.
Until then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.